people who are advanced just never don't do the basics. And that was something that always stayed with me. It's like, they just never don't do the basics. They always do them. And that's the difference between people who are advanced and people who are starting out. They look at the people on the stages and they're like, it can't be that. It has to be something else. There's got to be a secret. It's just that they never don't do those things.
Welcome to the Spartan Deca series on Spartan Up with Jared Cogswell, Director of Sport, and Yancey Culp, Director of Programming.
Today, guys, we have Alex Hormozi. He's an entrepreneur, an investor, a philanthropist. But you know why he's here today? Is he has had tremendous impact on the fitness industry. So I wanted to welcome Alex Hormozi.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Brewing Company, pioneering a revolution in craft non-alcoholic beers. Place your order today at athleticbrewing.com and get free shipping on 2 6-packs or more.
Alex, welcome. And man, we can't thank you enough for coming on today.
Jared, thank you guys so much for having me. I'm very honored to be here. That might have been one of the best, you know, introductions. So I'm going to do my very best to live up to the intro. For the rest of the podcast, I'm just going to try and live up to it. That's
gonna be- Hey, man. Hey, we just tried to stoke the fire here, man. We tried to get some energy going here and we try to have a good time. And we know we're going to have a good time with you today, Alex.
Hey, buddy. Listen, I did a lot of my prep watching a podcast you did with Matthew Janicek from Escape Fitness. And that freaking podcast, you pulled me to the edge of my seat. Anytime you do podcasts, you do a little research, and everything I watch, you were pulling me in. Be truthful with me. I know you've been around to thousands of gyms, and I couldn't help but think, I'm sure this has turned into a little more than just working with the fitness industry, right? I mean, you've got to be using these tactics with other businesses. And I got to thinking, just for the general public listening to that, you talk about being a strong operator. And I shot a motivational video today for my clients. And I brought your name up because I said, listen, even in the house, we're an operator with our kids, our small business, large business. If you're a teacher, no matter what you do, you're an operator. So listen, man, that message, the message that you coach, I think it reaches beyond just for the gym owners and the fitness coaches. I think it reaches the masses, my friend.
I hope so. That's definitely my aim. So I'm glad that it came off that way. I think the number one issue that so many of us have is that we're not able to repeat successful actions over and over again. And so we try and get cute. We try and not do the boring things. We try and find the exciting thing that looks shiny and new. When most of the time, if you ask somebody, hey, what do you need to do to lose weight? They probably know that you need to stop. Can I cuss on this? Or that's not okay.
Yeah, I think you can.
I won't be raucous. So you need to stop eating crap, and you need to move, right? Everyone kind of already knows that. And so we try and find something cute or crazy or weird because we think that we just don't need to do the fundamentals. And it's just that I had a billionaire mentor, and he told me that the people who are advanced just never don't do the basics. And that was something that always stayed with me. It's like, they just never don't do the basics. They always do them. And that's the difference between people who are advanced and people who are starting out. They look at the people on the stages and they're like, it can't be that. It has to be something else. There's got to be a secret. It's just that they never don't do those things. So anyways, that's stuck with me. And I'm glad that hopefully was communicated in that podcast that you watched.
No, I watched the same one, Alex. And I've got a lot of respect for Matt and the guys over at Escape Fitness. And we know you have a lot of lessons to share, and obviously you have a great network of fitness professionals that you work with, but also, I mean, you're one of those bright minds for the fitness consumer, you know. And what I guess before we dig into that kind of stuff, I just wanted to, you know, kind of get your backstory. Like, what got you involved in fitness in the first place?
I think, so I mean, I've been into fitness since I can really remember. So I like, my memory starts, I feel like, when I'm like 11, like I really don't remember much like of the early years, but I remember, you know, I was doing pushups, and I think the first gift like that I can remember that my mom got me was a Navy SEAL training book. Cause I was just, you know what I mean? I wanted to have muscles. That was like important to me. And maybe that was like a trip of, you know, becoming a man, or, you know, wanting to at least have status. I went to an all guys school. So, you know, how fit you were, how strong you were was something that was, you know, a status thing. And I also wanted to get girls, even though I found out very, very quickly that no girl ever cared how much I benched. but I went in with that intention, you know, and so it's
started. Hey, I get it. I tried the same thing.
Right. Yeah. My wife still doesn't care. She doesn't even know what I benched. But yeah, so I had, I was fortunate. I had a teacher who stayed with me after school, and he trained me for 2 hours a day, every day for a year. And so I was able to learn the ropes really early. And I had good genetics for it. And then, you know, fast forward a few years, I started doing defense contracting. So I was a management consultant. I did space, cyber, and intelligence for the military for 2 years. And all the guys I worked with were like, dude, all you talk about is fitness. Like, please stop working here. Can you please just do something? Like, they're like, literally were like, we're going to chip in and open a gym for you if you don't shut up about it. And so I emailed, you know, 40 gym owners, and one guy got back to me, Sam Bakhtiar. He actually just passed away last week, which is very sad for me. And really a loss to the industry. Anyway, Sam was the first person who responded to me, and he said, yeah, come on out, man. Like, I'll show you around. And he actually just let me, I mean, it's kind of crazy for me now to think about how many times I've been blessed by mentors who stepped into my life and just like asked for nothing. And so that's why, you know, you read earlier, the philanthropic thing, like that's where we try and focus a lot of our attention is, you know, providing things that paying it forward. Right. You know, I've had a lot of people work in, but anyways, he walked in and he let me work with him from 4 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day of the week. I never had to sit out of a meeting. I came with all the negotiations with vendors and locations and outfit outs. And he, you know, I sat down for my first sale with him. I learned email marketing, learning what the landing page was, all these things I learned that now we take second nature, but I was able to get some kind of crash course just by someone being so far ahead at the time and speaking back into me. And so, you know, from there, I opened my first facility about 12 weeks after meeting Sam. I was able to open, 6 facilities within 3 years. Each facility after the first one I opened at full capacity, which I think is something that's not normal. I didn't know it wasn't normal at the time. I was like, well, why would you open a gym if it's not full? That doesn't make any sense. But I found out later that was not normal. I started having gym owners reach out to me, and I was like, well, and I knew all these agents. I was like, I didn't even know what I didn't know. So I was like, how about I just fly out to your gym and I'll just fill your gym up for you? Cause that's what I do for my own gyms. I'll just sell for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks and we'll just fill your gym up. And so for the next 18 months, I flew around the country and went to 33 gyms and filled up 33 gyms. we averaged 121 signups in a 21-day period for those. And they were all, you know, what I would consider higher tickets. So they were people who bought programs. They weren't like trials or anything like that. So usually, you know, $500 plus price points. So invested clients. And after a certain point, more gyms were reaching out, and I realized that this flying around the country wasn't logistically a really fun life. and some of the sales guys that I had hired at that time, we were doing 8 gyms a month. We were just turning. And their wives were saying they were going to divorce them because they were not home all the time. So they were on the road at these gyms. And so we switched to a consulting model. And that was in March of 17. And then from there until now, we've worked with 4,000 gyms, teaching them all the things that we do, from lead generation, lead nurture, sales, fulfillment, and retention and ascension. And so all the things that you need to do, provide amazing product and service, do it consistently, and do it at a price point that actually makes sense for the business owner and for the customer.
Well, when you were consulting, you also kept the 6 gyms running at the same time?
So I left the consulting job. I'd squirreled away $60,000 in savings, and that's what I started my first gym with. So I quit that job, and then I drove out to California to unemployed to go see this guy Sam, who I'd met on the internet, showed up at his gym, and so from there, since I had money, so I was able to start my first gym quickly after kind of learning the ropes of the business.
Yeah, awesome. You know, you recently wrote a post maybe a couple months ago, and it was actually brought, you know, obviously we work with a lot of fitness professionals ourselves, and it was a really interesting article because it was a sign of the times, right? You know, and we know the struggles of the passionate and purposeful gym owner right now, and all the great people that are out there to change lives. And the first part, I thought what was brilliant about your post, Alex, was it was really bleak. Like, it was really great to hear about Peloton and the big giants that are out there, like just crushing it, right? And really using the pandemic to their advantage. But then you turned it back around on, here's what you need to do in order to not just survive, you know, during the pandemic as a brick and mortar business, but also to thrive. What can you share with, you know, because I think this is so important, especially for our listeners, our audience. And one of the things that I always argue against, you know, I always say, yeah, my Peloton experience sucked. You know, we're like, my wife got us a Peloton and like after two rides, I'm like, just get that thing out of here. I need to be around people. I need to be around energy. I got to get inspired by real authentic energy. I don't need this person on a screen. What could you share from that? Because I get the whole Peloton thing, but for me, no way. You know, what would you say we need to do better on the brick and
mortar? Before you start, I got to add something to that. As I read that, Alex, I'm going down through it, and it's like I'm on the edge of my seat reading this. And I said, I guarantee you right now, about 75% of the people are deflated and freaking depressed. 25%, like Jared and I, were fired up. We got to compete. We got to dive in. We got to be better operators, as you say. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, mine's, you know, it's one of those hard things of everyone wants, like, I would love to be awe-inspiring at all times, right? Like, that'd be amazing. We'd all love to have sunshine and rainbows. But I think 2020 showed, especially brick and mortar boutique gym owners, that, like, there are hard times, you know, and there are times when the chips are stacked against you. And so, you know, I shared some of the metrics that some of the giants are pulling up, and honestly, they're impressive. You know, they're basically getting free customers right now. Their churn is 1/10 of a brick and mortar facility. And so from an experience standpoint, you know, Jared, to your point, you know, wanting to be around people, I think there's always going to be people who want to be around people. That being said, will it be the same amount of people that wanted to be around people prior to COVID? Probably not. An amount greater than zero will permanently make the switch. And their metrics based on churn would be the definition of how sticky is it and how many people like it. It looks like people do like it, or rather, they're going to keep paying for it. So whatever way you want to spin it, but at least from an objective standpoint, we can quantify that people keep paying for it once they start paying for it. And so for the brick and mortar owner, I think what we need to move away against, and I'm sure that you've been talking about this for years as we have, which is you can't be about the workout. Like, the workout can't be the thing, because you can find free workouts on YouTube, you know? And it was like the same guys who were given free Zoom workouts during the pandemic. It's like, you're not going to beat Beachbody at their game. They've been doing it for 20 years and they've got an app for $10. Like, you're not going to beat them at that, right? And so the only way that I see, I mean, I'm not saying that there are not other ways, but the only way that I can see from my perch is that practitioners have to rise above the workout, which is what I said at the end of that post. And that means that we have to be the guide that is their counsel, which is, you love your Peloton, that's awesome. You know, do you like running outside? Do you like walking? Do you like doing Spartan races? Do you want to train for something like that on top of this? And it's really like, I want to create a holistic plan for you, and I'm your trusted counsel. It's kind of like the difference between being an investment advisor who just focuses on bonds or being someone's family office advisor who focuses on diversifying all their investments. Who's the more trusted counsel? The dealer who sells the commoditized bonds or the gold dealer? Like, everybody's got a guy who sells them an investment, right? But who's the guy who you talk to who says, here's our allocation, right? Here's how we're going to distribute our resources. And so if you were the rising above the workout and being the counsel for your clients, then it's like, hey, well, we're going to walk a couple days a week and we're going to do a Spartan in, you know, every quarter we're going to do one just so we have something to look forward to. But we still need to do a little bit of strength training. So why don't you come to the gym 2 days a week here and we'll do that. But then that way, when you go and see your sister, we'll have a little workout for you to do there and you can hop in on our remote sessions. And it's just, the world's becoming much more connected. And so we need to rise above that rather than being like, no, gold is the only answer. Bonds are the only answer. Bar is the only answer. CrossFit is the only answer, whatever that thing is. And the reality is that consumers have more choices than they ever had. And they have them at such low prices that if your differentiator is the workout, you're going to get left behind.
Yeah. You know, what I love that you stated in that post, and again, I sent it to a few people after I read it, and I love rising above the workout, you know, and because it's more than that. And I know Yancey can attest to this too, because he has a really strong online clientele, and a big piece to Yancey's success. I'm gonna brag for Yancey for a second, but he does rise above the workout. Mental conditioning is another piece that you're gonna get from Yancey's menu of services. you know, and that goes a long way, especially right now. So if you're doing just the same old thing and just opening the doors and waiting for people to come, that's not rising above that workout, right?
Totally. And, you know, on top of that, you know, to your point about the mindset training, there are so many other things that people seek. Like, people come for the six pack and they stay for the community, right? I mean, that's, we've all said that, you know, within our world many times. But there's also, you know, there's so many other things like food, there's accountability. Those are all high value services. And if, in my, from my perspective, accountability being the highest of that, which is really just counsel, right? And that's kind of just a different way of saying rising above the workout. But, you know, we've been selling accountability at our facilities for, you know, 4+ years now, because it allows us to differentiate from the guy down the street who is just opening the door and saying, you know, go hop around, high five, see you tomorrow, right? Whereas the other person's like, hey, what's the plan? Hey, I'm seeing you on Thursday, right? And if they don't show up on Thursday, immediately getting a text and a call follow up like, hey, you know, Yancey, I missed you. Where were you? And it's like, oh, I'm coming in tomorrow. Okay. And so by doing that, we're both providing more value to the customer and also decreasing churn for the facility and keeping people longer. So, like, I believe that value knows, like, value is value, and people are always repaid by the value that they provide to the marketplace. And so there's no hack or trick. The reason that the gyms make more money who are better is because they are better. They care more about their customers. They follow up with their customers, and they get people to stick with their fitness goals longer, which we translate into lifetime value, but they translate into, like, sticking with the habit that they wanted to all along and why they're paying us, right? They literally pay us to pay attention. That's the point. And so most people are getting paid to pay attention, but they don't. And that's where some of these online places have so much tech behind it that they can make the appearance of caring so close to what somebody's actually doing manually that it becomes really competitive. And I think within 5 to 10 years, it's going to be really interesting. I mean, there's already research studies that have shown that people prefer talking to a robot than they do to a person.
Yeah.
If you have the programmed answers of a nice robot.
Note, Alex, you know, I think that's where, you know, we have so many people that are in our industry, you know, it's like you, when you first, you know, got into the fitness business, you know, you're passionate. You know, we all say, hey, our purpose is to change lives, right? And I think we're authentic about that. But a lot of, unfortunately, gym owners, fitness professionals, they don't have the business acumen behind them. And, you know, they want to do well, and they work a lot out of fear, and they put a lot of hours and effort into, you know, being a successful business person. What are the things that we could flip around on the other side, you know, with the fitness consumer that are saying, hey, I like Peloton, and now I don't have to go to the gym. I could just stay at home. What are some ways to maybe convince them to look back at the other way going through this pandemic? Because I understand, like, okay, you're comfortable there, but there's a lot of things that they're missing, you know, that they won't get from that, I guess, that online experience or that digital experience that they're getting at home.
Oh, I'm not sure if the answer that I have is the answer that you may want me to give. I'll give you my honest opinion. I don't think that we can ever guilt people. And I'm not saying that that's what you were asking me to do, but I don't think that we can say, hey, come on, let's help these guys out. I don't think generosity is ever really a primary driver for humans. I think people will always act selfishly. And we need to, just as capitalists, align our services with what people want. They're not going to, like, they might pity party us for a month or two, which is what some gym owners got 1-2 months of people saying, hey, no, keep my membership, it's fine, like, I'll help you weather the storm. But they didn't do that for 6 months. They were like, I'll give you 1 or 2 months, but, like, okay, you know, hey, Randy, things are still closed. Like, I'm not going to keep paying for my CrossFit membership, right? And so I think that for the consumer, you know, the questions, if they like it better and they're more consistent with it, my genuine opinion is that they should stick with it. Because if I'm really trying to serve the most people, if I can get you to actually work out 3 days a week for the rest of your life, I won. Like, I just extended 15 years to your lifespan. Your kids are going to be healthy. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, me, I sleep okay at night. But as business owners, right, we can't really accept that. So we have to figure out ways to provide more value than those guys do. So my ask to the consumers would be, find somebody who's doing what we're talking about, which is rising above the workout. The guys who are doing the workouts, just doing workouts, are not going to beat the Peloton guys, because Peloton, for example, can pay the best trainer, in the top 10 trainers in the world to be there, right? And no local gym's going to have that. Very unlikely, right? But what will the local gym have that that doesn't have? It'll have everything else that can be you getting your goal. And actually what happens when you fall off or when you don't do the Peloton because life gets in the way, you go on vacation, you know, you get busy at work and then you fall off. Then what? Right. And so the Peloton's really cute for a while, as long as you keep doing it, but Peloton's not going to call you when you don't do it. Right. And so that's kind of where I believe that the primary value of having, you know, a fitness coach, fitness consultant, you know, every high level person, like I have four or five different coaches that coach for different aspects of my life. And so most people who want to become champions, which I think is the people who are listening to your podcast from a consumer standpoint, they should have coaches because they will still always, and there was actually a research study done on this, an academic friend of mine turned me on to, and they were looking at mentorship within academia. So it was like a truly like rigorously, you know, meta-analysis of hundreds of studies. But people who have mentors or coaches, people who are ahead of them, advance at four times the rate when you control for all other aspects. So when you tell me that I can advance at four times the speed simply by having someone further away or further along than me, give me counsel on what steps I should take to get to where I'm trying to go faster or easier, then in what world would I not sign up for that? And so that's what I think is the primary value of these rising above the workout. So if you are a consumer, it's good that you're doing something on your own. I will always encourage you to do that and stick with it. But if you want to go faster and you want to get there easily, more easily than you probably are, then that's where I think that the role of a coach comes in.
So you're quoted as saying, Alex, that it's real easy to leave and quit a membership, but it's very hard to quit and leave a strong relationship. In the gym world, and as I said to start the podcast, outside the gym world, talk to our listeners about the power in that in all walks of life.
From a business perspective?
Business perspective, and I love to create microcosms for my clients. Like, let's dumb this down to like this tiny little thing over here. Maybe, like I said, maybe it's you got a business that's just you and one employee.
Yeah. We're human beings, right? And so the things that are going to strengthen us or that give us meaning are the relationships that we have. When we die, we're not like, man, I wish I had gotten that squat PR, or man, I wish I had made more money. It's always the relationships that drive our behavior. And so whether you're, you know, coaching Little League baseball, right? Or you're a solopreneur and you've got one employee, the extent to which that person's going to stick with you is based on the strength of that relationship. And that's, again, being coach and being counsel, which most of the times is listening and actively providing value. I hope I answered that in the way that you were.
I loved your Little League analogy was a better one than I gave for that, bringing it down to like small town America. You're just, maybe you're a stay-at-home mom or dad and you just coach the Little League. But that, I love that statement, man. It's when you take the time to build the relationship, that is so hard to break. I've got no problem breaking a membership unless there's been strong relationships created while I was there. And I have a hard time leaving that. Jared and I call it, every time we walk into a gym, you're probably one of the few that's been into more gyms than we've been into, but we like to say when we're talking to the owners, I'd love to get your thought on this. When you do it right, they consider it their second home.
Yeah.
Like they walk in there and it's like, dude, I get chills every time I walk in. This is my second home.
Yeah. And they would never quit that because it becomes meaningful to them. The thing where I think a lot of gym owners struggle to hit Jared's point earlier is that they don't know how to reliably recreate that experience. And so that's why so many gyms that are smaller can create that tight-knit community, but then they can't grow beyond that because the new people who come in become outsiders. Right? Because they have such a strong click that people are like, whoa, just like you said, like if you're in the in group, you're like, this is my home, but you walk in and you're new, you're like, this is someone else's home. Right. And so what way do we bring someone new into that world? And this is kind of just like a task for practitioners who are trying to figure out how to navigate the 2021 and, you know, and beyond world, which is how do we recreate and choreograph that experience of creating in-group out-group, bringing the person into the in-group, and then recreating an amazing onboarding experience. And so for us, you know, we know the nice thing is that human behavior, at least in terms of relationships, is really quantifiable. It's going to be the speed of response. So when people are asking you questions, when they reach out, when they text, the speed of response, the personalization of the response, the volume of touch points overall, and that's tangible and intangible. So both like, hey, how's it going, Nancy? Like even physical touch when they walk in the gym. But beyond that, the text follow up on the workout. Hey, you killed it today on I saw your deadlift PR is awesome. Like, way to go. Little things like that go huge, like a huge distance. And so it's the timeliness, the speed, those being different, right? The personalization, and then the total overall volume of connection points. And then the last kind of bonus one is that if you can bring these people in and then say, hey, Jennifer, meet Sarah. Sarah lost 100 pounds with us over the last 2 years. So everyone knows Sarah, right? Sarah's a champion. She loves the gym. She's never quitting, right, Yancy? She's never gone anywhere. But Jennifer has no idea who this, you know, how anyone is. But if we can put her with Sarah introduced her to some of Sarah's friends, and all of a sudden she feels welcomed. And then the in-group, that what was once the out-group becomes her in-group. And then we can speed up the assimilation period for the client, which then is something that many times can, I don't want to say beat, but be an alternative to a Peloton for those people who want to be in person.
Yeah. You know, Alex, I just to reverse back a little bit, what I loved what you were talking about on the coaching side, you know, I've hired a lot of trainers over the years, right? I don't like to call them trainers. Like, yeah. You got to put your coaching hat on. And that means you're going to educate, motivate, and inspire every session, every client, every single day, you know? And I'm sure you've trained a lot of clients yourself. And even when you got to dig deep, man, you look in the mirror and you're like, yeah, I got to bring it for the next 50 to 60 minutes, whatever it is, right? But I think that's imperative, because the coaches are doing all the things that the great coaches are doing, the things that you're saying. It's like the touch points, the text after the workout. That's the difference between, you know, and I don't want to say we're just solely competing against the digital age of fitness, but that's the difference, you know, like, okay, I'm going to give a quick shout out to Colfax Strong Strength and Conditioning, right? Like, as soon as we get done with this podcast, I'm going to go visit my family down at Colfax, right? And every time I walk in there, Chad and Esther, they're always making sure people know each other. They check in on you. Of course, they take your temperature too right now. But, you know, when I watch them while I'm lifting and doing my thing, Chad is getting his thing done, and he's also coaching just constantly, right? And this whole tribe, you can feel the tribe when you walk in there. And we go back to that new member in the onboarding. All I simply needed for myself, for a guy that's been doing this for a long time, I just needed a few people to meet. And now when I go in there, there's that one guy, there's you know, Bill or whoever it is. And it's just, it becomes tribal, you know? And yesterday I couldn't get in there yesterday, and it didn't feel the same. You know, it just didn't feel like that. My workout solo, it sucked yesterday. All I did was a bunch of stairs, you know. But when I get around that energy, there's a big difference. But the energy is even better when I know I'm not going at it alone. I'm surrounded by my tribe. So I think you brought a great example there, because that is, you know, and it always starts at the top, right? I mean, we've met a lot of gym owners over the years where it's like, well, I know your staff, you know, is pissed, or they're angry, and they're not doing the things that you've asked them to do. But then you get to know that owner, and you're just, well, you're just not a very good leader. You know, you're not a very good coach of people that you're supposed to be showing them the ropes and getting them good at their job. Right. And it's the same way with clients. So
we have a saying, or I've been known to say, you know, when we have a client who has an issue, it's like, man, I can't sell these people. Or like, man, my employees just, they just don't listen, man. I'm like, have you met you?
Yeah.
Have you met you? Like, would you listen to you? Like, you just told me about how you've got all these emotional issues, and you just blow up at your staff for no reason, and it's totally your fault because you've got issue going on at home. And I was like, but does that sound stable to you? Does that sound like a good place to work? Does that sound like something that I'm going to wake up on Saturday morning, you know, pumped about? Am I going to respond to that business owner's client on Sunday at noon when they ask me a food prep question, even though I'm not on the clock? Probably not, right? And so that's the a lot of all, you know, I had a different mentor say that all roads lead to personal development, but a lot of times that is it, you know what I mean? Like, when someone comes in, you know, to Gym Launch, I don't think anyone can really argue whether our systems make gyms profitable, you know, at this point. It's, but if for any reason something does not work, the question is, well, you've tried four other programs, you know, in the past. What's the common trait between, you know, you and that program A, you and the program B, you and program C, you and program C and D, right? It's like, well, it's, maybe we need to look inwards for a second and think like, why do you have an inability to execute? And why is it that everyone hates you? Maybe it's because you hate yourself.
That leads into my next question. And I'm going to hit on a story that, I've heard you tell before, when you walked into the CrossFit box and they were only allowing 13 people per class. And you're like, what the hell's going on? And I want this to be for the listeners and the power of allowing yourself to be humbled and open for help and really listen into the help. And you interviewed the guy for or girl for 4 hours and you're like, the freaking jump rope is your damn problem. And you've more than doubled the size of their class by getting rid of the damn jump rope. And that problem had been there and nobody, and this happens so often in life, all business, even in families, everything where self-help can improve, the book or the coach like you, the outside guy came in and said, damn, dude, we really don't have as big a problem as you thought, but somebody had to call this out and this freaking jump rope's killing you.
Yeah, that was, it was one of the first gyms that I flew out and did a turnaround to. It was Josh Price, his gym in Towson, Maryland, CrossFit WSA. He actually sold that gym now, years later. But when I went out there, they had a 3,000 square foot box. So, I mean, you know, box size, like 3,000 square feet is a good amount of space, right? Yeah. And I had to draw, and I had flown out to do a turnaround. So like I was there, right? And they were like, I don't know if we're going to really do it, man. We're kind of pretty packed. And I was like, listen, guys, you can't be packed and broke. You got to pick your problem. Got to pick. I was like, are you packed or are you broke? Because you told me you're broke, but now you say you're packed. And they're like, well, we're kind of packed and broke. And I was like, all right, that means your model's broken. So let's look at the math, right? And so they did unlimited workouts. They had 5 workouts a day. 13 was the max they could take. And obviously there's an efficiency, so it's not always at 13. So let's say they're averaging 10 a class. They could only take 50 clients. That's it. That was the math. They're unlimited. The people came every day. They could only take 13. They had 5 workouts. That was it, right? And all we had to do was just eliminate the one thing that was the biggest space consumer, you know, for them, which was double unders. That was it. And it took 4 hours for me to get to the bottom of it, which was, it's just double unders. And as soon as we took the double unders out, they could go to 26 people a session. We added a couple sessions, you know, did some of the things that we know how to do to, you know, increase the efficiency. And then they got up to 260 clients. Don't quote me on that number, but it was over the 200s. That they were able to do shortly thereafter, right? Just because they could actually do it. And so I think, Yancy, I think you're dead on, right? There's always these little things that sometimes are right in front of us where someone's like, hey, you got a snake under your chair. And you're like, you have to see it before you move, right? And so someone has to admit it. Someone can just say it to you, but you don't look down. You have to look yourself.
Let me ask you this, Alex. Now, obviously working with a lot of clients, we have found through the pandemic, you know, we're excited about our product with DECA. It's gamified fitness. We call it training with a purpose so that you can celebrate your fitness. And we've seen it, you know, all through 2020 in the open markets. We hosted over 40 gym events with our DECA Strong and DECA Mile products. But we are just so excited. And what we're finding is, you know, especially when it was in lockdown, that gamification and challenges were definitely making a difference. And we're going, man, this might be the way we need to continue going forward, even when we sometime hopefully get to post-COVID. What are your thoughts on the gamification side?
I mean, I like all aspects of progress. You know, I mean, I think gamification is just a way of giving dopamine rushes, you know, at standard intervals. You know, the things that make things addicting are variable reward. I'm sure you guys are familiar with that, where, you know, sometimes you check Facebook, you don't have a notification. Sometimes you do, and you get a little ding on the back of your brain, right? And so with the gamification, maybe you don't get a medal today, but maybe on your third or your fifth workout, you do get a medal because you did 5 workouts or maybe hit a PR, whatever it is. And so it keeps people coming back because they just want to get that next hit. And so from that standpoint, I'm a big fan of gamification in all its various forms.
Yeah. And with your clients too now, like, you know, I think every business, especially in the fitness business, it goes through cycles, right? Where there's that growth cycle. So you're just like, okay, our focus is on sales right now. And then eventually you get to a certain point where you're like, okay, we're going to focus on retention more because we're near capacity. Right now, like what is the philosophy or the, I guess the advice you can give to so many hardworking gym owners right now with where they're at? Because, you know, like right now at the moment of this podcast, I spoke to three different gym owners in California today. Okay. All they can do is the outdoor workouts. You know, here in Colorado, you can go inside. You gotta pay attention to the occupancy. You gotta wear the mask. Everybody's in a different place, but where do you think the main focus should be?
Oh, that's a good question. So right now the marketplace is obviously really fractured, right? The difference between a, you know, Oklahoma gym and a California gym is night and day, or it's literally outside and inside, right? Between the two facilities. And the biggest difference that we saw early on, you know, as soon as COVID hit and the gym started getting shut down, is that there were gym owners who were open-minded and there were gym owners who were not. And there were gym owners who were ostriches with their head in the sand, just waiting for the, you know, for the adults to come, for Superman to come and save them. But the thing is, the Superman, you know, never comes, and we all know that. But they were waiting for it in hopes that something was going to happen. The guys who stayed nimble, stayed adept, you know, started offering, you know, remote or hybrid services with their packages, have been able to do fine. We still have plenty of seven-figure gyms that, you know, grew and hit record years in 2020. But they were the ones who were adaptable. And so the advice I would imagine, as broad sweeping as I can with a few brushstrokes to the entire gym industry, would be to remain adaptable, because we don't know what 2021 is going to look like. I do think that having a hybrid or semi-remote component to a gym, I've been an advocate before COVID and I'm an advocate now, because it's 100% margin. And it also provides you as the coach above the workout. So you can manage somebody so that they can do a Spartan race and go to your gym if you're a bar studio, right? Because I work with a lot of facilities that aren't necessarily, you know, boxes or do kind of the more hardcore stuff. I've got yoga facilities. Like, we've got all sorts of facilities, because the back room, as I call it, is just the widget, right? But all the models work the same. It's like, whatever you're doing in the back is the back, but how you sell, the goal, how you market, you know, the client experience is the same, because humans are humans, right? And so one is stay adaptable. Two is you have to be able to acquire customers. If you do not have a reliable way to acquire customers, you're always at the mercy of your existing client base, which is not necessarily a good place to be, because if they all of a sudden leave, or they all go to Peloton, or they all say, well, another gym down the street said all 20 of us could get in for half price. Unless you have any kind of leverage, which to me in my world, leverage is I have more people knocking on my door. Like, I love you and I want to support you, but I don't need you. Right. And I think being in that position of power is really important. And if that's why, you know, the mission of Gym Launch is teaching gym owners how to fish, because we believe you have to fish for yourself. You got to learn how to do it. And so making sure you have an acquisition system and staying nimble in terms of the types of services that you're providing and matching them with what the marketplace wants, which right now is accountability, in my opinion. People want accountability, and something that we can provide, whether we get shut down 100 more times between now and the end of the year, we can provide accountability on top of the workouts. And the way, this is a little bit tactical, but I'll just include it in for the few gyms that are listening, is that you want to make sure that you're selling accountability as the main thing, and then the workouts are a bonus. So as a bonus of being a client of mine, you can work out of my facility. And by doing that, the accountability becomes the main thing that you are selling, which means if you get shut down, it doesn't mean you have any interruption of the core service that you sold, right? Now, if you reverse that and say, I sell workouts and the bonus is accountability, if you do get shut down, all of a sudden people are like, well, hey, you know, I'm not doing the workouts anymore, et cetera. And so I zero in on that, because Yancey, as you said, the thing that people don't break is the relationship. So then make the relationship the main component of value. Make the concept that they will not fall off, that they will not fail, the main value add. And that is far more valuable, in my opinion, to an end user, you know, and a consumer, than a workout is. If I can look at Nancy, not, I use the bed. I looked at Jennifer, right? Not to be confusing. So if I look at Jennifer, right, in the eyes, and I say, Jennifer, if you sign up with me, I'm not going to let you fail. That's far more valuable than, like, we're going to have the most amazing workouts. You're going to burn the most fat with me. Like, you're going to get some lean body mass. You're going to get toned. I mean, that's good. But if I look at Jennifer and say, if you sign up, you commit, I'll commit to you that you're not going to fail. I'm not going to let you. I'll drag your ass in here if I have to. I feel a lot better as Jennifer to say, that's what I want to buy. The workout is just nice. But as long as I don't quit, I'm going to get to where I want to go eventually.
Oh, dude, you've nailed down something that ties into a question. One more question that I have here. This could go on for hours, Jared. This was exciting cast, man.
You got a couple of days, Alex.
every time Jared and I have somebody on that, and we haven't had somebody on that has your level of experience inside the gyms, working with the owners and the fit pros and whatnot. But another level of a layer of experience that comes with that is you know the client really well. You also know the future client. They're not with you right now, but I can get them in. So we're going to create a little hypothetical here. Three of us have been tasked, let's say, by the government to dramatically and drastically change the percentage of obesity and the people that are lazy and just they don't give two shits about moving right now, taking care of what I call the beautiful machine. And by the way, I get called Nancy at least once or twice a day. but so we're creating you. The three of us have to change it. It's like the government said, you three better freaking get it done. I want to see a 25% improvement across the board. You said something a few minutes ago that really nailed that. It's like, oh man, that would be one of the things, the bullet points in our package. So what's our plan, man? What's our grand plan? We got to dramatically change obesity, and all this stuff works into the fact that we're going to dramatically push more people to the gym, which you're good at doing. How are we going to devise the perfect plan to get more people off their ass?
So in my opinion, most people, like the strongest motivator is not gain, but pain.
Right. And so if I go to Leila's head and said, Alex, you have to lose 50 pounds in 30 days, I would lose 50 pounds in 30 days and I would stop eating immediately. And I would be running for, 12 hours a day every day to just try and eat at my body. Right. And so I think that if we're trying to get, like what you're saying, a massive amount of people to get fit, get healthy, I don't think we can appeal to their desire to be healthy because that's never been good enough. Right. We have to find a different driver. And so my intention, if I were to do this, and that was what was tasked to me, is I would create some very, very painful incentive for them to not perform. And so one of the common themes that we have in the programs that we sell for this reason is that we have people, and we sell a lot of different programs, but one is if we have somebody who's starting out, if we want to sell someone on the program, part of it is we'll either give them a guarantee based on their attendance or they forfeit their amount of money. Another way to do it is we give a trial. We say that we're going to bill you with $100 for any workout you don't attend, right? So there's a huge penalty for them not attending. Another way of doing it is having to put money down and then getting it back if they hit X, Y, and Z. And if we can put this over a longer period of time, the goal or my hope would be that we can appeal and get enough of an internal combustion engine going, right? Because the external motivator is there. They got the big stick that they don't want to get hit by, right? But if we can get the internal engine moving after, 12 weeks, 6 months, 12 months, then I think that we have a chance at getting these people to stick with it. Because at the end of the day, if someone's fit for 12 months of their 84 years, does it matter? And I think most of the gym owners that I know, and like I know in my facility, when I looked at the amount of clients that had come through my doors over years and the small percentage of those people that were with me at any given time, it's actually really saddening, right? You're like, my God, these people, signed up for a trial or they signed up for a 4-week program or something. And then that was it. And so getting someone to be fit for 4 weeks or 4 months, even 4 years in the span of their life doesn't matter. So the whole goal, at least for me and all the programs we make, is how can we, I love the fact that you guys are gamifying it. How can we get it so that their internal drivers and more importantly, their identity shifts? If we can get them to identify as a fit person and so that they can start their thoughts with, I am a fit person and therefore I'm the type of person who wakes up early. I am therefore the type of person who doesn't, who doesn't go crazy on pizza. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with pizza, but you get the idea, right? Like I am that type of person rather than I'm an unfit person trying to do healthy things, which never lasts. Mm-hmm. Because we only have so much willpower, right? But you don't have willpower to be who you are. And so the goal is I'm going to make an external motivator to initiate the initial change, get them to do the behaviors, and then have indoctrination that's built into the communication of the program that tells them and continues to reinforce that they are a fit person. They are not someone who does fit things. And by doing that, we can eliminate the amount of willpower that's required. Because just like Jared, you go to the gym. Yancey, you work out all the time. I've been working out for 17 years. It's not like I use any willpower to go work out. It's just something I do. Mm-hmm. And sure, I've been injured. I've taken a week or two off, but I don't have a fear of not going back. And that's because it's part of our identities. And so if I can get that to happen in the wide population, then that's how I think you would affect the change. Or that's how.
So when I was in the military, and it was, if you don't pass these tests, and if you're this level of fat, your ass was kicked out. It was like that analogy you created. It's like, oh crap, dude, I've got to make this work, or I'm going to be kicked out. And there's other, you know, maybe the fire department, the police department, but even the military, the fire, all those standards are dropping. It's all being like, well, not really. We don't have to be there. And some people will say, well, why doesn't the government just say, this is what, why don't they come down hard? I'm like, don't look at it that way. We can create the plan. We can come up with it. We've got to be better. I always put it on myself. It's like, I'm not doing a good enough job. I haven't created the right program yet. Dude, I love it. I love where you're going with that, man.
Yeah, Alex, what you reminded me of is a lot of people, you know, like you said, you have the willpower to just go train and go work out, right? It's just part of your lifestyle. For me, it's the same thing, but I'm also motivated by that fear of not having fun. Okay. I spent a lot of time in the mountains. I fear being number two up that mountain. I fear struggling up that mountain. And that's the driver. That's part of the purpose of going to the gym today, because I want to dispel the fear and have fun. I think the other great point you brought up is accountability is number one. And it reminds me back when we all started training. I was a 19-year-old trainer. That was just a few years ago. And I was one of the first ACE-certified trainers, you know, at 19 years old. And what I did with my clients is those old workout cards, right?
Yep.
Man, if I trained Alex, I was tracking progress constantly and checking in. Even if you didn't see me, I was watching. And I was leaving you a note. And I think it just goes back to some old school tactics, just like that as well. And so there's a lot of reminders. You're like, man, sometimes we make this so difficult, but it's really not that difficult. We have to help people, and we've got to hold them accountable.
Hey, Alex, I know you got to leave in like 1 minute, man. What, lay it on the pub, lay it on our audience, brother. What do you got to finish up? Anything you want to plug or anything, man?
Well, you know, if you're a gym owner, you can go alexsbook.com. I give away all the things that you can do to fix your gym. I give it away for free, cover shipping. It's like 10 bucks. We're also letting gyms start with us for $1 right now, just because we understand that a lot of people are capital constrained. They don't have a lot of cash on hand. And so we will make your gym make you money, to stick with us so that we can help you. So anyways, I won't even give you links. If you know where we are, you'll find us, just so that it doesn't seem
find you.
Yeah. gymloansecrets.com is us. So yeah, we're letting people start for $1, and you know, the average gym that we have does, well, I won't even get into that. They do a lot better when they start working with us. So anyways, I'm really honored to have been here. This was an awesome call. I hope that there was a couple pearls that a couple gym owners and consumers could think with in terms of actually sticking with their fitness in the long term, and on the gym owner side, you know, getting people to stick with you in the long term, you know, for your business.
Well, I know I'm speaking for Yancey here. We're looking forward to continuing the conversation with you, Alex, as we're all on this mission to impact lives. And can't thank you enough for you taking the time and sharing your wisdom and your knowledge, and also the motivation to keep getting out there. You know, all these business owners, we keep saying this, you got to keep climbing, guys.
Listen, live, love, love, and serve big with big focus on the serve. Alex, thank you so much, brother. Be good.
Drop Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
Bye.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Athletic Brewing Company, pioneering a revolution in craft non-alcoholic beers. Place your order today at athleticbrewing.com and get free shipping on 2 6-packs or more.